Thank you. It's honestly such a privilege to be here. I can't say thank you enough. And Jamie was 18 when he came and joined us, and he was a bit wild. But it makes me cry to see him, to see him leading here with such authority and with the grace of God and filled with the Spirit. And yeah, I just praise God for all that he's done in and through Jamie and in and through this church. So, into the word, which we know is powerful because it's living and active. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 onwards. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone.
Awesome. Thanks, Diane. Winner. As with most bits of scripture, you could preach about these two verses for like endless days. So I've just had to pull out a few key bits. And you'll see on the screen behind me, I've kind of got four subheadings: identity, shadows and reality, the you, and rejected. And through it all, what I really desperately want to show is that God is the hero. It's not me, it's not us. The hero through all of these things is God. It's all about him. Okay, so we're gonna start with identity. And in this thing, in this verse, it says, as you come to him, the living stone. Jesus is the living stone, isn't he? That's Jesus' role. He is the living stone. He is strong, he is enduring, and he is alive. That is Jesus. It's all about him. It's about us going to him. He's the hero. We go to him, the living stone, the one who is strong, enduring, and alive. And then it gets better, doesn't it? It's like we go to him, that sounds good enough. But then it says, you get to be you also like living stones. We become living stones as we come to him. We get to be like him. So we get to be strong. You've been talking about Resolute recently. We get to be strong. We get to endure that amazing prayer that was just said there of praise, because that lady has graduated to glory. And we get to be enduring, don't we? We endure beyond this life. My auntie just passed away last 2 Saturdays ago. She was in Christ. She's alive. She is enduring. So we get to be strong. We get to be enduring. We get to be alive. Alive now, true life, and life to come. It is amazing. And it's all about him. Someone said that contact with the living stone makes us alive and fits us for our place in his architectural plan. It is all about contact with him. And we are this spiritual house because we house the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, as someone was just saying. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us because we are made for his presence. And as I was just looking at that, as I was sat in my seat, just refreshing myself before coming up here, presence, I think, really sums up what I felt here this morning. We've really felt the presence of God here. And it's been very, very special to be here this morning. So thank you, and thank you, Lord. And we shouldn't be alive, should we? We should be dead in our sins. We should be perishing in that. But praise God, through contact with the living stone, through coming to him, we are alive. And we get to be living stones. It is incredible. And I just want to say that whatever other people have said over you in your life, don't listen to that. That is not the truth. Look at what God says over you. And God says over you, you are living stones if you're connected to my son. That's what you are. That's who you are. You are living stones. So that is our identity. That first piece, our identity. There's loads of other things, obviously, we are in Christ. It's wonderful. Here we're focused on we are living stones. We are alive. We are enduring, and we are strong in Christ. So turn to each other and just say, in Christ, you are a living stone. If you need to shout it across the aisle, do that. In Christ, you are a living stone. In Christ, you are a living stone. okay, and it is him that makes this happen. He is the hero. And it's not me, it's not Steve standing up here saying you're living stones. Your argument isn't with me if you disagree with this. It's God. God is saying, you are living stones if you're in my son. And that is absolutely awesome. So that's number one, identity, living stones because of God. He's the hero. It's not us. Well, the next thing, before I go on to it, this is where I've got my little illustration. Okay. So before I had any other type of pineapple, the type of pineapple I had as a boy was this sort of stuff. Okay. It is really juicy. It is really, really sweet. It comes in a very easily openable package. Okay. I really liked it. Delicious stuff. Big fan of this pineapple. Okay. And then, I don't know what age I was, but sometime later, I encountered one of these. Okay? Now, we know that this is a real pineapple, don't we? Yeah? But when I first tried it as a boy, I was like, oh, that's not as juicy. That's not as sweet. It's definitely not as easy to open. Okay? So I was like, oh, I was a little bit disappointed by the real pineapple. Now, we know that proper pineapples grow, like my brother, one of them lives in Uganda. You can just like pluck them from a tree and they haven't ripened in a ship or something over, not a tree, sorry, I've seen it, yeah, like that. One in each plant. Yeah, gotcha. You don't, ignore me. But yeah, you pluck them from the plant. But it's they're proper pineapples. But these, this is a proper pineapple. But I thought, that's a proper pineapple. Until I got used to the flavor of this, the taste of this, the wonder that this just grows out of the ground. This is phenomenal. This is a proper pineapple. But sometimes, for each of us, and in lots of different ways, the shadow seems more real than the real thing. We can all fall for it. The shadow, this stuff, which is like so different, but it seems more real until we get used to it, than the real thing. Now, I'm indebted to C.S. Lewis. I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan for reading some of this just the other week. But that is one of the problems that we have as humans. The shadow looks more real than the real thing. And this passage, it's got a few examples of that. It talks about spiritual house, holy priesthood, and spiritual sacrifices. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, we've got a few pictures coming up. We had, anyone know what this is? At the temple, okay? They had this seriously massive, seriously impressive spiritual house, okay? That was it. That was the center of their spiritual lives, the center of pretty much all their lives as a Jew back in the day. That is the spiritual house. But here, Peter is speaking, or writing, says we are being built into a spiritual house. He doesn't mean this. This, though it looks exactly like you might expect a spiritual house to look, a big, impressive, grand building with lots of holy things inside of it, this is a shadow. This is the shadow. There's actually something greater to come, and that is a crowd of people from every nation, tribe, and language with God living in them by his Holy Spirit. That's this. Okay? And there'll be greater taste of this when you meet with other churches and meet with, you know, it gets bigger when you get more nationalities and all that. But that is this. I was trying to find a picture for ages and I thought, I don't need a picture. It's this. It's right in front of us. This is the spiritual house that we are being built into. This, it looks just like a spiritual house, but it's the shadow. The reality is what we're experiencing today. And we know there'll be a greater reality to come, won't there, when Jesus returns and all are gathered to him. This is the shadow. This is the reality. But sometimes it doesn't look like it, does it? Sometimes we still think about the walls. We still think about that shadow reality. And then we've got the holy priesthood. We've got these guys. Okay? Like, They look pretty holy. They look pretty like priests. They've got some serious clothing on to show that they are set apart. They've got special roles, special duties. You do this. Other people don't do those things. This is set apart for you guys as the priesthood. They look very much like a holy priesthood. That's the shadow. And once again, what's the reality? This is the reality. But it looks like you could look back in the Old Testament and sometimes you think, well, they had all this stuff. It's so much more obvious. It's so much more concrete. But actually, we don't need all these special clothes. We don't need to be set apart. We are made one. We're set apart from the world. But with us, there isn't like, it's the priesthood of all believers, isn't it? Yes, we've got leaders and they've got particular roles and responsibilities. But essentially, we are the priesthood of all believers. This is the shadow. This is the reality, whether male or female, young or old, whatever background you're from, whatever nation you're from originally, your heritage, this is the reality. This is the shadow. Jewish men with particular roles and responsibilities in particular clothes, doing particular things on particular days, shadow. Reality is right here. And then we've got spiritual sacrifices. And again, you look back in the Old Testament, and you think, well, clearly they had sacrifices. That they literally had to go and sacrifice animals or offer up grain or oil. Clear spirit, that is a sacrifice. Something's dying there. That surely is about as concrete as you can get. Surely that's the reality. And now we're in the shadow. But of course, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. These are the shadow. And the reality, we've seen Jesus, well, we haven't, but we know of Jesus sacrificed on the cross. And now our reality is living lives sacrificed to him, consecrated, that were consecrated to him, given to him, choosing to spurn the things of this world. I don't want to go there. I don't want what this life is offering me. And choosing to die to that and live for Christ. This is the reality. Hopefully your lives, hopefully my life, we're all still growing, aren't we? We've still got room to grow. But this is the reality. This is the shadow. Going with actual animals and stuff. And the spiritual is more real than the physical. But we are so prone in our human bodies and with everything going on around us to think that actually the physical is more real than the spiritual, aren't we? I am. And it's precious. This life is precious. But the spiritual, that is enduring, that lasts forever, that is of God, is more real than the physical. So I just urge us all not to fall into the trap of thinking that our faith doesn't seem real. Because it can be really tempting to be like, actually, I want something more concrete. I want a list of sacrifices that I have to have made before I die. A tick box exercise. That's what I'd like. I'd like a rank or a role that I have to achieve by the time I hit certain milestones. Maybe by the time I'm 20, I need to be this. By the time I'm 50, I need to be this. By the time I'm 70, I need to be this. Just, again, a tick box exercise. I want a special building. If I visited this special building a certain number of times, then yes, that is something that I have done, that is I have achieved. It seems more real, but it is fake religion. It's not real. The reality is that we are to come to him, the living stone, and we are to be knit together. And it is a relationship. It is not a tick box exercise. That the stuff of this life is not as real. It's not the reality compared to the spiritual reality of being united with Christ. United with him forever and ever. Starting eternity now as living stones. That is the reality. And in terms of what caused the shift from the Old Testament, which was the shadow, through to today, which is the reality? Jesus. Who's the hero? Jesus. God is the hero. Father, Son, and Spirit, all involved. It is God's doing. It is not us. We get to live in the spiritual reality. So please, don't go for the shadow. Don't go for it. There's loads of ways we can go for it. But it is not the reality. It is the shadow. We get to live in the reality in Christ. And that is absolutely amazing. So that's my second one. We've done identity, we are living stones, and we've looked at the shadows and reality, and we get to be the reality in Christ, in Christ. God is the hero in both those situations. And then we've got the you. It says that in this passage, as you come to him, the living stone, and then it says you are being built into, you like living stones are being built into a holy priesthood, a spiritual building. The you, though, isn't like you, you, you. The you is plural. The you is collective. That doesn't mean there isn't an individual part for us to play, not at all, or there's an individual meeting with Jesus, not at all. But the you here, all the commentators agree, is collective. It is community with other believers. And that is needed for each individual to realize their purpose and to realize their significance in Christ. That is when the Holy Spirit really begins to get to work, is when we are united together. The you is plural. And I love this quote. I can't quite remember where I read it, but it says, I think it might have been Tim Keller, we can ask God to change us in the privacy of our own homes, but the answer is that we didn't get to be in a mess by ourselves. The mess came through relationships, society, etc. God therefore says he will change us as we come into the church. That's how we access the glory and presence of God. So many factors have got us into the pickles that we have all been in. And there's so many people involved in that, that actually God says, for me to truly change you, yes, I can get to work with you. Yes, time in solitude with me, time where you close your door and pray to me. These are good times. But if you really want to get to work with me, keep connecting to church. Keep being part of church. That is my designated instrument, my designated movement to get my people together and to build them into the people of God. So keep being part of church. It is God who transforms us. Again, he's the hero. It's not us. He's the hero. And he loves to do it when we're part of church, where iron sharpens iron, where things like you just wonderfully did for Tanya and I, where you just prayed for us, things where we can be accountable to each other, where we worship together, where a talk shared from the front should be more impactful once we've all sung and prayed and praised together. It is you who come to him, the living stone. So it's all about us. And the hero is God. God is the hero. He's the one that does the transformation as we come to him. And in this last one, rejected. It's really striking, the difference, isn't it? It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. Do we expect different to what Jesus experienced? Jesus was rejected. He was rejected all the way through to death. Do we expect any different? And again, it was wonderful to hear from Jamie that you've been looking at being resolute, people of purpose, people who are unwavering. Because there's widespread agreement that actually rejection and persecution is coming more and more here for those who want to stand on the living stone. Jesus was rejected by humans, but he was chosen by God. And as we choose God, who has chosen us, we are increasingly likely to face rejection. Jesus did, and we shouldn't expect any different. And we know that we're called to be different, therefore, to the world around us. So here's a few things. If we're not joining in the gossip, that could be seen as weird, and we could be rejected for it. If we're not finding our identity in work or in family or in status or in our hobby, that can be seen as weird. If we find it in Christ, we might be rejected for it. If we offer to pray for someone, that's weird. We could be rejected for it. If we have language that is seasoned with salt and not crude words, that can lead to rejection because people think that's weird. If we choose sexual purity, that is weird. And that can lead to rejection. Being content and not striving for more and more and more stuff and more whatever, that is weird in today's culture. That could lead to rejection. Offering to share the message of Jesus with someone is weird. it could lead to rejection. Now, some will see the difference in us and they'll be wowed and they will want to come to the living stone and get right with God. That is amazing. What privilege. Others will spot the difference in us and be repulsed and reject us, just as Jesus was rejected. But Jesus, he was rejected by humans so that we could be accepted by God. He wasn't rejected for no purpose. He was rejected by humans so that we could be accepted by God. It is amazing. And even our possible, or maybe even increasingly likely, rejection by our fellow humans is centered upon him. It's all about Jesus. He went through it, and we can follow him because he went through it. And we follow him out the other side. And God walks with us through any rejection that we suffer on account of him. He is with us through the rough times and the smooth. But we need to be ready for it. And that comes as we come to him, the living stone. The more time we spend with him, the more time we spend together as church, the more we focus and fix our eyes on him, we are ready to face whatever rejection may be thrown at us for following his ways. So let's be people who withstand rejection as living stones because of all that God has done for us in Christ, because he lives in us by his Spirit and he enables us to come to him. He gives us a secure identity. He says, "You are living stones in my Son." When you're building your life on my Son, you are living stones. He shows us what is truly real, and he bids us step away from the shadows, come to the reality. It's amazing. And he redeems us from our mess. When we're rejected as well, he walks with us, and he bids us come together, come together. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Tanya's going to come up and pray. We'll be praying. If you don't know this living stone yet, the living stone, Tan will give an opportunity to get to know him. If your identity, you feel actually my identity has been elsewhere, I haven't found my identity in Christ. I haven't come to the living stone in a way that makes me realize, my identity is actually like his. I'm a living stone. There'll be an opportunity. And then there'll be an opportunity to pray that we, and you guys in particular, all grow together, that you grow and that you are able to face whatever this world throws at us, throws at you, because you are living stones. So Tan, I'm just going to invite you up to pray.
Great, thank you, Steve. And this is a word, isn't it, that is for all of us, for each one of us, whether we've been Christians a long time or whether we're new to the faith. Because actually, in Christ Jesus, we continue to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I think I just want to pick out particularly that piece about rejection. And I feel that in this room, there's people who have experienced rejection in their lives, and they're carrying that burden and the weight of those things that have been spoken over them. And I think God wants to break that today by the power of his Spirit. So like Steve said, I'm going to pray first for those who don't know Jesus as the living stone. And so if that's you and you'd like to pray that prayer, feel free to pray along with me in your hearts. I'm going to pray for those of us who maybe have had our identity elsewhere, in career or family or status or money, anything else. And then I'm going to pray for you as a church as you grow in unity in Christ. Father God, we come to you today. And Lord, we acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the living stone, alive, enduring, trustworthy, faithful, strong, true. And Lord, as someone who maybe hasn't followed you previously, we want to choose today to follow you, to connect our lives to you, to declare that you are the living stone, that you died and rose again on our behalf, that we could have relationship with God, that we could be made alive now and for eternity in you. Lord, we repent and say sorry for the things that we have done that meant that you needed to go to the cross on our behalf. And we welcome you, Spirit, into our lives, into our hearts, that you would teach us and guide us to follow Jesus, that we would become living stones, a royal priesthood, holy before you. Thank you, Lord. And Spirit, you've spoken into those of us who've had rejection, those of us who've had words spoken over our lives, Lord, that are not true. And we want to stand today and put aside those words and declare what you say over us. Lord, that we are being built like living stones into a royal priesthood. Each one of us, Lord, that calls on your name is a royal priest, is chosen and precious to you in Christ. I declare over each person who's part of this church and this congregation, Lord, that you have chosen them, that you know them by name, that you know the number of hairs on their head, that you hem them in before and behind. God, that you know when they sit and when they rise, that you love them, that your love is so vast and high and wide and deep that they cannot escape from it. Father, that you promise never to leave them and never to forsake them. Lord, that they are strong in you, that they have hope and joy, that by the power of their Spirit, Lord, you are growing in them all those beautiful fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Lord, we reject the lies that have been spoken, and we stand firm on you, the solid rock, the living stone, the cornerstone. Thank you, Lord. Spirit, I just invite you to do your work individually in each of the hearts of us here. Lord, that we would be able to leave in this room with you at the foot of your cross today, those words that have broken us, those words that have harmed us, those actions and activities of others that have made us believe untruths about who we are. And may we know the truth of who you say we are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, finally, I want to pray a blessing over this church. Lord, I want to thank you so much for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for the unity that there is among your saints here, among your priests here. Lord, for the desire to see everyone growing in faith. Lord, that each person here would be confident that you, Spirit, live within them and that you, Spirit, are speaking to them and doing a beautiful, wonderful, and marvelous thing in their lives. So I pray, Spirit, for an outpouring of your presence, of your gifts, of your goodness, Lord, in this place, an outpouring that sees people growing in the gifting that you have laid on them. We pray, Lord, for a wellspring of prophecy, of tongues, of words, of visions, of dreams. We pray for healing. Lord, we pray for the gifts of the Spirit, that wisdom, that knowledge, the ability to interpret tongues, the administration, the encouragement, the hospitality. Lord, may it well up in this place as these guys meet together, as they encourage one another, as they speak of you, as they grow in confidence to share what you are doing in and through them. And may you unite more people into them, Lord, as they see your goodness in this place. Pray your favor on this church, Lord Jesus. In your name and for your glory, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. I wonder if there's a, for some of you, there might have been something that God was saying to you in that time. And that could be something that you need to go alongside someone you trust and say, actually, God was saying this to me. Can you pray with me personally on this? For others of you, there may be something that God's laid on your heart that actually builds on what Steve's been saying and actually is for someone else here that you need to share. And so just encourage you, as Jamie's already done and Bob's already done, like, please do make sure that you share those things that God is sharing with you, because that's how we build and grow together.